This is an interview with Mr. Otto Kruger and Mr. Russell Gow. It's taking place at the Maritime Union's offices in Sussex Street in Sydney. The date is the 6th of November 2007. Interviewer is Margot Beasley, and the project is Horses Around Inner Sydney. And the reason that these two chaps are being interviewed is because they are former wharf labourers, members of the retired members of the Retired Members Association of the Maritime Union of Australia, and they worked around the waterfront when horses were a commonplace sight. So Otto, if I just start with you, first if you could just introduce yourself
Otto
and
Kruger.
Give me... And where and when were you born?
I was born in Jones Street in a house in 1932.
That was Piermont, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. No, Ultimo.
Ultimo, I beg your pardon.
Yeah.
And so that means you've been a continuous resident.
Yes, well, I came up to the point when I was a baby in arms, and I've been in the same units now for 75 years.
That's quite a long time.
Yes, it is. I'm part of the woodwork.
Yeah. So you're actually living now in a unit you grew up in.
Yes, exactly. Mm. Yeah, mother and father and myself and my sister.
Mm.
And it's quite a lot different now to those days than what it is today. Today it's just, Jack, I'm all right as far as I'm concerned. People are not concerned about one another now today. Back in them days, people would come and take a washing in if it started to rain and everything. But now people just live like they're living in a vacuum of their own. They don't even want to communicate with you. It's a very sad thing that we've lost this touch of communications, because that's how you learn through life.
You'd be one of the old last remaining originals around where you live?
No, Cedric lives around the next block. He's been there since 1928. His father was a former waterside worker. His name was Forbes, and his brother was a waterside worker for a few years, and then he left. And old Norm was a merchant. Well, actually, he was in the 1914 war, and he was in the one of the. I think they used to call them the Q ships, when they used to go out and the sides would fold down, and out would come guns, and he was a gunner on one of those. And old Norm was a racy man. He loved racing, same as Cedric. He's very, very adept to the horses. I call him the born loser.
Now, you and I have talked on the phone just briefly about horses around the waterfront,
mm-hmm.
and specifically about the CSR sugar horses.
They were, as far as I can see, they were the best unionists I've ever seen in my life. If you brought a sling out at 3 o'clock and put it on the cart, the horses would refuse to move. And
when you say a sling, remember that people who listen to this probably won't know what that means.
It's a cargo coming out, bag cargo coming out of sugar coming out of the hold of the ship, and it used to be 16 bags. And,
In a sling,
yeah. And
so what sort of weight would that be?
Oh, well, it was quite heavy.
Mm.
So I'd say around about 150 pounds, maybe a bit more.
Mm.
But they were quite heavy. And very, very hard, too, when you were down below, the sugar used to solidify it. And you had to keep what they call skimming off, which meant that you had to come off a layer at a time, because in them days the mills had their what would you call it, I've got a mental block. They'd have their, it's like a signature on it, it identified the mill, and that's what they got paid by. And if you put a bag in the sling, and it would go to the weighbridge, And the bloke there, I don't know, but he knew he'd send the whole sling back till you took that bag out.
If it was the wrong bag.
If it was the wrong bag, yeah.
So when you say the sugar solidified, I think you mean then that the bags would hard, stick together.
Yeah, and very, very hard. And skimming off, as I said before, was a very, very hard job. You couldn't dig down to give yourself a shelf to work off.
Mm. And what was it that when you said the horses were the best unionists?
Well,
if you put a sling on them at 3 o'clock on their cart,
yeah,
or was it called a cart or a lorry or a
dray? No, on their dray or cart.
They wouldn't move. Why was that?
Well, they'd worked long enough.
So they were worn out.
They were worn out, and when they unharnessed them, the first thing they done was run like hell up to the stables.
Did they?
Yeah.
Because that was the place they could have a rest.
Yeah. Yeah, that's part of it.
So they were worked pretty hard, weren't they, those
horses? Oh, my word, there was. I think I told you the story about Darcy Peterson.
Could you tell me again?
Oh, yes. Well, Darcy was a dray driver, or, as you say, cart driver. And Darcy Peterson lived in Piermont. And he worked at the CSR. Anyway, this day that they had rubbish and they used to tip it into these old wooden hulks as they used for rubbish. And he was backing back at the time, and the next minute the cart wheel got stuck and the horse and cart went straight into the bay opposite 25 Piermont. And the next minute...
Straight into the water.
Yeah, straight into the water, and Darcy just fully clothed, boots and all, dived in, unharnessed the horse, and he came up again, and the horse come up, and he was awarded the highest award of, I think, what do they call it?
Was it the Royal Humane Society?
The Royal Humane Society, that's correct. Yeah, and that's how... what Darcy done.
Mm. It's a nice story, isn't it?
Yeah, very good. It used to be very funny down there when I was a boy during the war. They used to have a lot of people working down at the CSR there, especially in the sugar. And a lot of them used to get down there because they wouldn't go to war. They used to refuse to go to war, and they'd be working down there, casual.
Are you talking about waterside workers? No,
they work for the CSR, and they weren't waterside workers, but they work for the CSR, and they wouldn't join the army, wouldn't go to New Guinea and them places because they didn't want to fight, and the MPs used to come down there and raid it at times. Well, you'd never seen anything like it in your life. It was chaos. Running everywhere, like cockroaches.
They were trying to round them up, were they?
Yeah.
Make them go off and fight.
Yeah.
So these weren't conscientious objectors.
Oh, no.
They were just avoiders.
Yeah. They didn't like to be killed.
Yeah. And who can blame them?
Yeah.
And so the horses, I thought, actually, when you say they would stop at 3 o'clock because they were worn out and they'd had enough,
yeah.
But they were actually worked round the clock sometimes, weren't they?
Well, I joined in 1950. And they were, but they were very, very stubborn at times. So you couldn't get them to move. You could flog them, and they just stopped there. You know, as I was telling you the other day, when the old Bottle-O, old Challoner, he had a horse and cart. And as we were kids, we used to get on the cart, and we used to sing a song: "Horsey, keep your tail out, keep the sun out of my eyes." And I'll tell them that. And there was a stable just down from where I lived, and there was a bloke called Horsey Jack, and what was his name? Bloke by the name of Walsh. He used to work for the what were they used to call him in there? Not the maritime.
Not the Maritime Services.
Yes, yeah, he used to work for the Maritime Services. And he had a horse and cart, and he had to go around all the wharves at Piermont and clean up. And his nickname was Hamburger.
What do you think was meant by that?
Well, the others, I think it was named after that comic strip.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So he'd clean up what? All the junk around the wharves?
Yeah, all the junk and everything around the wharves, and he had a horse, and it was a bloody vicious thing too.
Oh, was it?
Yes, if he didn't know, he'd bite you, you know.
And so the sugar horses, what sort of numbers of sugar horses would there have been?
Well, gee, I never counted them, but it used to be a magnificent sight when they used to come down John Street, down the hill past the Terminus Hotel and the Royal Pacific. The big, tall, thin fellow, I can't think of his name, he was with them for years, and they used to come down, and he'd apply the brake coming down the hill, and they'd go up to the brewery with the sugar, and he'd be talking to the leader of the horses. So it was 2, 4, 6, 7 horses, and I tell you what, they were fully loaded, and I used to go up Harris Street, up to the brewery there, and at Broadway there, and it was a magnificent sight, because the CSR had many horses there, as you know, and they used to go to the Royal Easter Show, and they took out first prize nearly every time.
And did they?
Yeah, and when they used to be coming back from the Royal Easter Show, they'd have all their regalia on them, and the bloke that used to look after them was fantastic, because he just treated them like his own, you know. And sometimes of a daytime, the dray drivers and that, they go up there. There's a pub called the Pyrmont Arms. It's halfway up from 25 Pyrmont. And the horses used to pull up there at a lunchtime. And they'd have their hat on, or go and get a bowl and put a pint of beer. And the horses used to love it. And they used to cross their legs and go to sleep.
I was going to say, it wouldn't encourage hard work.
Oh, yeah, it was.
And where were they stabled, those horses?
They were stabled up in near Tinker's Well, they call it. They used to go up at Mount Street. And one of the farriers there I knew very well. When we were kids, we used to go up there. A bloke by the name of Patterson, and we used to watch them shoe the horses and make their own horseshoes for them, and it was really, really very, very terrific to watch. And they used to get the files and file their feet down and take the old shoes off, and when we were kids, it was. And then there was Conlon's, that used to be the local bakers, and they had a horse with a cart on it, and they used to go around delivering the bread, and we used to hop on the bread on the back sometimes and open the door and take a loaf out and have a chew.
Irresistible, I suppose.
Oh yeah, fresh bread, you know.
Was there other sort of local small industry like farriers? You mentioned one farrier, but were there others around as well in that area?
No, not that I know of. There could have been, but not that I knew of. But the horses in them days was at the CSR, especially, as I said before. But old Hamburger and his son Dick. Dick couldn't read or write, and Dick used to make sulkies, and he used to use string to measure up, and I tell you what, Thea Dinkum, it was absolutely fantastic, the sulkies he used to make.
So where did he make those?
He made them down the old stables where I said they were just down from us in Pyrmont.
Mm.
Yeah.
So the sulkies were still in demand then?
Yes, yeah, and not actually to use as public transport, but a lot of people used to use them in the show. And
the Royal Easter Show.
Yeah. Mm. So, he was amazing, this bloke. He worked on the wharves, Dickie Walsh, and he was unbelievable. He used to have a pony, and he was a temperamental bastard. He was. He'd jack up on you. And he'd want to bite you, you know. It was just unbelievable.
Yes, people can be very sentimental about horses, I think. They've got personalities just like humans.
Well, I tell you what, I wish they were there now in Pyrmont.
Do you?
Yeah, I'll tell you why, because there's no communications there much now. Only some of the older people that's there, but all these new people that's moving in and that, they live in a vacuum of their own. And
do you think that the horses, when you say you wish they were there now, do you mean that the horses themselves actually helped people to communicate and be with one another?
Oh, yes, definitely. There's
no
doubt.
Can you expand on that a bit?
Well, you just imagine coming down and watching that view of those horses, and daily, you know, and it was a magnificent sight, you know.
This is the teams.
The teams, yeah.
So did they often came when they were actually doing loading, unloading the sugar, did they work in teams then, or are you just talking about when they were on show, they worked in a team?
No, no, they used to go up to the brewery.
Oh, in a team.
In a team. Mm. And the team used to take them up there. But the individual ones used to work on the wharves with the bag sugar.
So when you mentioned also that when the bloke who was driving them, that he would talk to the leader.
Mm-hmm.
You mean the lead horse?
The lead horse, yes. And the next minute, he never had a whip or anything. He just talking and then, "Get up there, you Willy Bellum Dong there! Come on there now, pull your weight." Yeah, and away they'd go, you know. They were unbelievable. They were very, very good.
Mm.
It was a magnificent sight. Mm. That's all gone through the roof now. No one seems to be interested now. They're all driving around Pyrmont now in flash cars and up to their neck in debt. It's just unbelievable.
Can you remember when the horses finished up at CSR?
Oh, there. It's a hard one, that.
Just roughly, like they were there into the 50s, weren't they?
Oh, yeah, well, in the 50s, it'd be, I'd say, to my recollection, maybe late 60s. Maybe.
Oh, that's quite late in the day.
No, yeah. They were before that.
Did they?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, they weren't there when I was there. I was a boilermaker at the time. They were there in the late, say, 58, I think, around about that time they'd finished the horses there, the CSR.
This is Russell Gow speaking now. I'm sorry, when were you born, Russell?
I was born in Ewart Street, Dallychill, in 1926. The house I was born in, I still live in that same house that I was born in. My father come from Scotland in about 1908, and he bought two blocks of land. And he built the house next door for his mother and father. He brought his mother and father out from Scotland. And him and his brother went away to the First World War. He come back as a returned soldier, and his brother got killed 3 months before the war had finished. And he met my future mother in Scotland when he was on leave. And turned around and he brought her out as a war bride in 1921, and they were married because she had her father still alive in Scotland, and she wouldn't leave him on his own, and when he passed away she came out here as a war bride, and they built the house that I live in today. And,
That's nice.
Yes. But going back to the horse, what Otto was talking about, them days there was a lot of furniture removalists, and they all had teams of horses.
Oh, yes.
Like there used to be a tally clerk that worked out here on the wharves, Eddie Hinson. And Eddie Hinson's father, he was a removalist from out in Mascot. Mascot was a particular place where you used to see a lot of horses, and they furniture removalists, and he used to go down to the CSR, get a load of sugar, like that's on contract work, and get a load of sugar and take it to various places. And it wasn't just all the horses at the CSR, it was like hired horses, like, you know.
And they were just coming in and out all the time.
Coming in and out all the time, because they were, I'm coming closer.
Yes, thank you.
You get a cook back.
Thanks.
and they were hired, like, you know, you could hire the dray and the horses, and they used to go around removing furniture or anything like that. And he might get a job down at the CSR getting a load of sugar. The next day he'd be somewhere else.
Like removalists might do today for different reasons.
He used to come down on the wharves and all that. I remember when I was a kid, they used to come down on the wharves with the horses loaded with, you know, all different goods and that.
Dropping stuff off to the wharves. It was being shipped off up the coast or
that's right, wherever. Of course, there was a lot of coastal boats in them days. Like, I didn't come on the waterfront until about the 1960. But I remember, because I was a boilermaker and I worked around in the area, and I remember all those times, you know, and Sussex Street was horses all over the place, yeah,
North Coast
and, Company. Yeah, North Coast Company and Adelaide Steamship Company and all that. And,
so you're talking about now the pre-war period, are you, when you say Sussex Street was horses all over?
Yes. Like, I served my apprenticeship over Cockatoo Island during the war. And as I say, I was in the boilermaking game, and I read an article about how deadly asbestos was, and I used to work in amongst the asbestos in boilers and all that type of thing, and even the welding rods were wrapped in asbestos. And that frightened me when I read an article, and I give the boilermaking game away, and the chaps I worked with, they said, "Oh, that won't hurt you. What's up with you? A mug." Anyway, I'm still alive. And they're gone. So that's how a mug I was. And but I remember when I was a kid, all these horses that was around. Then my experience on the waterfront with horses was when I worked for the Union Steamship Company at Piedmont Bridge there. I think it used to be 25, it used to be
Darling Harbour.
Darling Harbour.
Yeah, they used to call it the forest.
Yeah, and all the
forest.
Yeah.
All this Union Steamship Company ships used to come in there from New Zealand, and especially if they come in of a weekend, there would be horses on, and you used to have to work the weekend to get horses off.
Yeah.
And
what
sort
of
horses
were
they?
A lot of them were trotters, like pacers and that. And there was Billy Picken, used to come down on the wharves, and a few times, old trotting driver Sutton McMillan. He used to belong over at Glebe. He had his stables.
Yeah.
And he used to come and get horses there.
But and a lot would these of, be... Billy Picken was a trainer, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a trainer.
So these would be horses that had been brought in, like imported to stay here, or just for special races?
Some of them were like stallions, and that were to breed from. And some of them was actually pacers that was going to race at Harold Park or Menangle or wherever those, you know, the races were on. And the strappers used to come from New Zealand with the horses, and they'd feed them and all that, to water them and all that. And
what sort of conditions would the horses have been in on the...
Some of them were that frightened when at times of the rough seas... They used to fall in their boxes, and they'd have to strap them up, and some of them...
So they'd actually be strapped in like a straitjacket.
Yeah, but they'd, and they'd have them, like, tied up to the... Like, they was in boxes, and they'd have them strapped over, and they'd take the weight off their legs, but their legs were all spread out, like, you know, because they couldn't stand up properly.
Mm.
And a few times that the crews told us that horses went berserk at sea, and they had to shoot them. They couldn't do anything else, but you know, because they went berserk, and they couldn't upset the other ones, because once one starts, the lot will start. So they used to have to shoot them, and shot them over the side. And you know, we used to get upset when they used to tell us these stories. You know,
maybe they
are. And yes, and when they used to put them out on the wharf, the poor things, their legs would go on them. And Billy Picken, he was marvellous with horses, and he'd make them walk straight away, you know, get the circulation in their legs. And it would take them a long time. He'd walk them around, you know, and to get that, you know, that muscles going in their legs and that.
And to feel and normal again on
normal,
solid ground.
Yeah, and the poor things would be looking around because, you know, they wonder where the hell they were, because they're used to a paddock, come off a ship, and they've been on a ship for a few days, and... You know, and they look up at the thing and they see the cars going across Piedmont Bridge, and they, you know, poor things, they just they didn't know where they were. And
how would this horse actually be physically moved from the ship to the wharf?
Sling. What?
In a sling.
Yeah. They'd bring them out in a box. Like they had special boxes. I don't know whether there'd be any boxes around the waterfront these days now, but the Union Steamship Company had proper boxes.
So they'd be in a box and then the box was lifted on a sling?
Lifted.
Yeah. Straight out.
Straight out onto the wharf.
Yeah.
Like they had special, they went down in the hull of the horses, they had special
on
places
the deck of the
on
ship.
The deck. And they had boxes and all that. And some of them were just like, what they call the fo'c'sle or the after end of the ship. They was all in there, you know. And they could see out. And if you walk past them, some of the stallions would grab you. You know, they'd have a bite at you because, they didn't like strangers because the strappers were all right, you know, they knew them, but strangers walking in. Well, we used to have to go in and bring stuff out, feed and all that type of thing that they had, because they, different, gear and all that they had. And they'd have a snap at you, they didn't like the strangers
about. Oh, yeah, they're real
highly strung.
What they used to do, too, they used to export polo ponies.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Out of Sydney?
Yeah.
From New South Wales, rural New South Wales.
Yeah, they export them, and then sometimes they bring them up from Melbourne, and they used to be down at Ten Walsh Bay. The Blue Funnel ship used to run to Singapore called the Ixion, and they used to take quite a lot of them there across, and... polo ponies.
So, and what was involved in polo ponies, I imagine, are pretty light.
It was
a pretty big export. And what they used to do, they wouldn't bring down the horses till the ship was ready to sail.
Yeah.
So they'd be the last thing.
Yeah, the last thing onto the ship.
Yeah.
And you put the feed on what they call the hatches and what they call pyramid, and then they'd put a big tarp over them. But it was quite a big export.
Was it?
When
that was happening, would it just be a handful of horses would go at one time?
You'd get, 1, 2, 3, 4... Might be about 16 horses.
Yes, sometimes 20 horses used to be imported.
Oh, yeah.
See, when they used to bring the horses over to race, they might, say the Inter-Dominion Championship was on. Them days they didn't have cargo planes, big enough to transport. Well, they'd bring all them horses, they'd be a few months before the big races, or not only the Inter-Dominion, other races, and they used to bring them here. And when if they won races or that, they'd take them back home, and they used to ship them back home again, But then, of course, the big transport planes come, and that they didn't bother then. But one of the occasions there with the when they used to bring the mares out, and they had a foal, and they couldn't fit the mare in the box with the foal,
too big.
And they'd take the foal out, and the mare, go berserk. You'd never heard a scream like them, And when they got the mare out and got her on the wharf, she was as happy as anything. And the foal, I don't know whether you heard a horse like a foal.
Winnie.
Going to cook because it's mother, but it used to be, if you were sentimental, it would upset you to hear that the two horses
are weeping.
Weeping, yes. And that, yes.
Right, now, just hold on a moment. Hang on. So now we're just back
to the horses.
To the horses.
And
a little interruption there.
And
so when the mare and the foal were reunited, did that settle them down?
Straight away. Then they eventually got bigger boxes that they could put a mare and a foal in, And the Union Company, they were the ones that used to mostly with the horses.
Monoway.
I worked with the Union Company, and when I first come down here, and first job I had was with the Union Company. Then there was you know, you used to have to work for companies, and we were selected, the gang I was with. And the union company, I spent a lot of time with the union company until they folded up, and then we went, you know, back into the SEALs, what they call the SEALs. But our experience with the horses, a lot of horses we seen coming in and going back out.
One incident brings back to memory of talking about that. I think it was, I can't think of the name of the New Zealand ship, boy. Not the Monoway, not the Union Company, Hunter. I can't think of the name of the ship anyway. The circus used to come across from New Zealand, and one day they were taking off an elephant.
An elephant?
And the elephant went berserk. Yeah. Well, it was in midair. Yeah. You've never seen anything like it
so
in your life.
So it was in a big sling, wasn't
it?
Gee, that'd be a job.
Well, it used to happen every year. They used to come across from New Zealand, this circus. And, there was everything there. It was a real menagerie. It was just unbelievable.
And what happened when the elephant went berserk in midair? Did the sling break?
No, the sling didn't break. They just brought it down.
What did he do? Was he... He was trumpeting
and everything. He really, really went to town. Yeah. Oh, but the things that happen on the waterfront, the people wouldn't believe what we've seen and done.
Wasn't there a story about an elephant who chased a foreman or something that?
I was telling you about last week that my experience with the union company, we had this elephant on deck. And he was chained, like his legs were chained, and we was undoing the chain, and they got the sling around him, and the foreman told the crane driver, take the weight, and we said, not yet, we've still got the thing. He said, I'm telling you, take the weight, and of course the crane driver took the weight, and the poor thing was still chained. And he let out a bellow, and anyway, the foreman went off the ship, like to see the thing was landed, and we got undone the chain, and he got on the wharf, went and undone the sling, the elephant chased him up the wharf. He knew. And
did he get
it? No, but they're intelligent animals, and like they know if you hurt them, they'll have a go at you. I just watching a program on the television the other night with a girl, and she was with these baby elephants, and she was playing with it with a ball and everything, and she hit one, and one went bang with this, you know,
trunk.
So they know it, and this elephant, he just whoo straight after him. We all stand there laughing.
And there were other animals associated with the lions and tigers and giraffes.
Yeah. And, oh, yeah.
What was it like getting a giraffe off a boat?
Well,
they were in special box things. But,
they would have been kept on deck, I suppose.
Oh, they're too high. Their neck. The lions and tigers, when you walk past them, they growl at you, you know, they look at you and growl, but they couldn't hurt you. And monkeys, they were the funniest things, monkey. Oh, yeah.
Were they?
Oh, yeah, the monkeys would put out their arms and go to grab it.
Any of them ever get loose on the wharves?
I don't, can't remember any monkeys, they were probably chained up, the tigers and that, probably secured, you know. But they'd be laying in the box and they'd be watching you. You know, you go past them, they'd be eyes would be right of hand on you.
Yeah.
Well, same as the horses too. If you walk past the box, the horse would look at you because he knew you was a stranger. Because with the strapper, they knew the strappers. Like they used to feed them and water them. But when you come on and you were a stranger, they'd give you a look and enough to say, who the hell are you? You know, what are you here for?
You could be dangerous.
Yeah, all animals, it's just the same as a dog. When you walk along the street and the dog's laying down, he'll look at you and say, well, you know, what are you? So it's the same with all animals. They're all the same. They're just like humans they act like us, and monkeys act like us, and we act like monkeys. So, it's a wonderful experience, and Well, going back about farriers, there was them days there was a lot of farriers about. Where I live, Auntie Horden's used to have a big oval. The oval's still there, but now it's belonged to the rugby union. And it was Hordenier Oval. And they used to have...
Is this at Dulwich Hill?
Yeah, Dulwich Hill. And they used to have their horses. They used to have all draft horses, Clydesdale and all that. And they had them in the oval there. Then when they sold the oval, they took them out to another place that they call it the Triangle. And they used to have them stabled in there. Oh, they were there for years with Auntie Horden's. And there was an old farrier that lived around. And he had his own horse. And this horse used to walk up every afternoon at 3 o'clock. And he'd nudge the bar of the where the railing. And he'd walk around home, or just around the corner. And he'd stand at the gate. And the old bloke would be, you know, farrying there. And his wife would come out, put the sulky on the horse. At 4 o'clock, the old bloke would knock off. He'd get on the sulky, and the horse would walk up to Dulwich Hill Hotel. And that's, so there was a side street near the hotel. He used to put in there horse trough and put the bag on him. And then he'd come out half full, get on the sulky.
The owner,
and,
yeah.
The horse, and he'd be going cook on the horse, you know. Yeah, bloody thing, you know. He had no one else to talk to because he was full, and he'd have the reins in his hand, and the horse used to pull up at all the cross streets, you know, on the way down, and the old bloke would go cook on him, and when he got home, his wife would know that he was home, and the horse would just stand there, and she used to come out and get the old bloke off, and the son used to come out too, and then take the horse in and unhook the... away he'd go back around the paddock. That was his night. His day's work was over.
Now we'll just have a little pause here.
It's with horses, like, you know, it's a thing that you'll never forget, you know.
And it's not something that people would normally associate with the kind of work that wharf labourers might have done.
They no, that's
think
right, no.
That part of your day's work would be to... load polo ponies or get elephants off ships or
right.
anything like that.
Yeah, yes. Well, when you used to go home and tell people, like, you know, you unloaded tigers and lions, they look at you and say, oh, come on, you know. And then you had to explain they were in cages. They weren't, like, walking around.
I'm just loose. I'm a lead.
And, it was a wonderful experience to see, like, this Billy Pickin and Sutton McMillan. All the both of them have passed on now, but they were marvellous with horses. And old Sutton McMillan, I used to see him drive the horses up like Glebe Road there, you know, Piedmont Bridge Road. And he was a marvellous in the horses, but you don't see them today because there aren't that many cars. You might see them early hours of the morning, but them days when they used to do the track work at Harold Park, they used to take them back to the stables and that.
Just back and forth along the roads, just like any other vehicle.
Yeah, just like any other vehicle. But then, years ago, before the war and during the war, there was a lot of horses around, and as I say, there was all hire things, you know.
Mm.
You get your furniture removed, and Anthony Horden's, and Penfolds, well, I think Penfolds have still got horses.
Until recently.
Yeah.
Mm. And the breweries, I think.
The breweries, they were beautiful horses, like, you know, all big Clydesdales and all that. But there was a lot of farriers around. A chap I play bowls with now, his son-in-law was a farrier with the racehorses at Warwick Farm.
Oh, yes.
And he was quite busy, like, with the racing, but now with this, you know, flu they got, they're not so busy.
Oh,
you know,
you're talking about the equine influenza
flu.
That's
yeah.
been very big
but,
in Australia.
But there's still quite a few farriers about, you know, they make the shoes and everything, and there's still quite a few.
And what about Anthony Horden's? Because Anthony Horden's, a lot of people who hear this won't remember Anthony Horden's, but it was a huge department store on
Goulburn Street and George Street, yeah.
And the building itself is still there.
Still
it's now
there.
Courts, Law Courts. But it was a huge institution, wasn't it?
Oh, yes, yes, it's huge, yes.
A very old-style department store. I think a lot of their sales even used to be through catalogues to country people, that kind of
That's
thing.
Right, yes.
So when you say they used, you can remember them using horses around town. What were they used for?
Oh, moving, like, you know, people buying stuff out of, like, refrigerators and all those type of things, furniture. Andy Horton was well known for furniture. And suits, like you get a suit made there, and everything. They were they done everything at Anthony Horton's. I remember when I was in the boiler making game, I was working at a place out at Sydenham, Sydney Steel, and Anthony Horton's was going to remodel their building, and this Sydney Steel got the contract. Stewart Brothers were the big builders, and they got the contract to refurbish Anthony Horton's. They cut all this steel. Oh, it must have cost a fortune for the steel. And Anthony Horton's just said, we're not going to go ahead with it. And it was millions it must have cost them, like the amount of steel. And all the steel was all cut ready for the job, you know, 4-inch thick steel. And, you know, for the foundation. And it was never ever carried on with. Yes. And so, you know.
So when you remember Anthony Horden's, the horses doing all the deliveries, presumably then that would mean if somebody bought furniture from Anthony Horden's, then the horse would take the furniture all the way out to the suburbs somewhere.
That's right, yeah.
And would that, are we talking pre-war or wartime?
Yeah, pre-war and during the war too, pre-war.
Probably because not after the war, do you think?
Not so bad after the war. There was quite a few horses after the war, but mostly during the war because there wasn't, you couldn't get petrol. He was on petrol ration, and there wasn't many cars, like, you know. You're going back 1940s and that, you know, there wasn't many cars, and that you could walk the streets, you could cross the road, and the only thing you'd get hit by would be by a horse. But there was hardly any cars, like, you know.
Somebody told me that a lot of horses were actually brought back into service during the war, ones that may have been retired beforehand, for all those sorts of reasons.
That's petrol,
rationing and shortage of materials, everything was going into the war effort.
That's right, yeah. Well, that's why I say that all around Mascot, they used to see hundreds of horses, like, you know, horse and dray. And even the rabbit man used to come around with the rabbits, singing fresh rabbits. And he had a horse and, you know, cart, you know, and all that type of thing. The bread, milk, all that was all through the war, the milk and the bread.
And the ice man
and everything was all horse-drawn. Yeah.
And around Mascot there were also, of course, small race courses in that area.
That's
so
right,
it wasn't just people hiring out horses and drays.
No.
It was but there were horses everywhere for the purpose of racing.
That's right. Oh, what's the name of it? There was a track out there.
Not Victoria Park?
Yeah, Victoria Park, and there was another one.
Ascot?
Yeah, Ascot. It starts with the H, the name of the suburb out there. Is it Hillsdale? Out near that way. There was Rosebery race course. That was a big race course. Well, that was the Mascot. And that was a well-known race track out there, Rosebery. That's where you used to see a lot of the horses. And as I say, with the milkman and the baker and all that, and even the people used to deliver meat, and they used to have horses and that, you know. There was a lot of horses. And Moorfield Race Course, that was another one out at Moorfield. Used to transport out there was race horses, or, you know, horses and that. I remember the horses going along Princes Highway and the horse and dray.
Just doing the deliveries, yes.
Like produce places, like buy your potatoes and all, and that down Marrickville. There used to be a big Rogers, a produce place, and he had a horse and dray, and go down and 14 pound of spuds, and he'd deliver them to your home and that, and save the women carrying it and all that type of thing.
But, that was a lot of spuds, 14 pounds.
Family, and used to get, if you bought them like 14 pound, it was cheaper
it was
than
cheaper.
Buying 1 pound.
Yeah, so. Buy them in bulk.
Yeah, buy them in bulk, and that's what they used to do.
Just take another little pause there.